is a simple path of loving yourself. Really, this is all about the highest self-love you can offer yourself. So how would it be for you if you just let go of things that were not working for you inwardly, and then you let the outer unfold? How would you feel about yourself? Would you feel a greater sense of love for yourself?
Cue music. Places, everybody, places. We're starting in 3, 2.
Welcome to the Autoimmune Hour, where we look at the rise of autoimmune disorders. I've brought together top experts that range from doctors, specialists, nutritionists, researchers, and even those recovering from autoimmune to bring you the latest, most up-to-date information about autoimmunity and how to live your life uninterrupted.
Thank you for joining us here on the Autoimmune Hour with Sharon Saylor. Always seek sound legal, medical, and or professional advice regarding any problems, conditions, and any of the recommendations you see, hear, or read here on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune and Life Interrupted Radio. Join the Autoimmune Hour's Courage Club. Sign up now at understandingautoimmune.com. Now, back to your host, Sharon Saylor.
Welcome, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, it's my honor and pleasure to be with you here on another brand new episode. And I've finally been able to snag my guest here. We're going to talk about a wide variety of things with my dear friend, Jaya Sarada. And she is a ordained minister, a student of Pathways of Light, and a practitioner of sacred energy healing. And that's an authentic healing work that has its roots in ancient medicine. She also brings years of work and training and experience in energy, medicine, and spiritual transformation. And through the use of kinesiology, sound healing, mantras, sacred oils, I could go on and on. A couple of things I wanted to talk about, Jaya, is first, she's one of the most prolific writers I've ever met. She has a couple of new books out that I wanted to talk to her about. So first, let's welcome Jaya. Thanks for being on the show, Jaya.
Lovely to be here. Thank you.
Oh, it's all so good. I haven't been able to get down to see you in person for a while, and I'm looking forward to doing that soon. But it's good to see your face here on video.
Thank you.
Now, it's a what I call a legacy book. It's a book that has a biography of your stepdad. You were sharing with me that this is a book over 70 years of his life and some of the learnings that he had. A most amazing life and came across some of the most amazing people. So will you share with us a little bit of the story of your stepdad and then why you chose to write about his life?
Sure. The book is called Transformation, and it was written over 70 years ago. This is by Dr. Hugh Keller. He was an osteopathic physician, and my mother was a catalyst to his writing and his awakening. My mother was a Krishnamurti student as well as a theosophist. So he met my mother when she was in her early 20s, and they met in Los Angeles. And somehow, I think she was still living there. I don't have all the facts, but she would take him to Ojai, California to meet and hear this profound teacher, Jiddu Krishnamurti, who was in Ojai. Many of you may know about him. He's world famous, renowned teacher of truth. And he had a beautiful estate in the east end of Ojai. And when they would go up and meet with him and speak with him, at some point he became personal physician, his osteopathic physician. And so they had daily walks. They would have these long talks. And at some point he started understanding the teachings of Krishnamurti. So the book is Transformation, The Light of Krishnamurti. And he understood the truth of truths. It's a very non-duality teaching. It's all about just awareness and looking at your thoughts and intelligence. And so he had an awakening and began writing this book during the time he was meeting with Krishnamurti.
What an amazing story. Now, this is quite a while ago. What prompted you to look into your family legacy?
My mother and I, back in the day when Dr. Keller was still alive, we took the book to India together, and we had the first printing done, not published. So when we came back, we had this little book that became a study book. So it's a family legacy in the way that my family, the Keller family, was very involved in these teachings. My whole family went to the schools of Krishnamurti in India, Brockwood Park in England, the schools in America, the schools in Italy. So all of the family, the children of the family, went to the various schools. So in that way, it's a very deep legacy of everyone learning these truths.
Oh, wow. Amazing. And now, yeah, it fascinates me that you're putting this work together. As you began to write it, are there specific phrases or affirmations or terminology or something, a lesson that really popped out that you went, wow, I was needing to hear that right now?
It's become a daily study as well. Now, to clarify, Dr. Keller left the book in a manuscript form before he passed away, and my mother held it dearly to her life. She basically never let it out of her sight. But when she passed away, she did put it in writing that I had the privilege to print it. So I did. And so basically, it was printed first in India, and then I've republished it.
And as you were going through it, and I can't imagine what a gift to get from your stepdad and then on via your mom to be handed someone's life work, basically. What really resonated with you?
Yes. At some point, I would love just to read to you. So what I've done with the book is I've placed little phrases in the beginning of each chapter that were meaningful to me. So I've just picked one out. May I read one quickly?
Absolutely.
Okay. So this is called relationship. When there is love, there is no conflict in relationship. It is only in a state of resistance that there is opposites and conflict. If you understand this, then you will see that the problem is the question of your resistance in conflict, which create with another, that creates the resistance, and therefore there's no love when there's this resistance. I'm trying to paraphrase it. So when you come into being with this love, all that conflict is dissolved.
Oh, wow. What an amazing learning we have there. I was thinking about resistance in so many ways. Jay has been a longtime friend, so she knows this about me. But I'm one of those people that I know signs show up when I'm supposed to hear them.
Yes.
Or see them or experience them. I'm a firm believer in that signs show up. And I love this idea of the word resistance.
He has so many beautiful passages about love in this book, that love is truly the source of all transformation. So the book is all about how do we activate love in our life so we can really transform or heal or stop the cause of the patterns of suffering in our life.
So true, stopping the patterns of suffering in our life. And oftentimes, when I hear the word resistance, I think my first thought is about on the physical level. I'm resisting something, boundaries, and putting up my hands on the physical level. But as we're talking here, I'm feeling this idea of how the word resistance really can manifest on all levels. All of your teachings, not just this lovely book, what are your thoughts about how do we release resistance?
If we look at resistance, we can think of it as a thought form, and it's an intangible thought form because it's an energy. Once it's underneath that, though, there's an identification with something about ourselves that creates us to be have that separation from another or from anything in our life. So this is identification with an ego aspect of ourself that then manifests in a resistance. My work or my understanding is silence would be the antidote to resistance. And when one knows that you can take the whatever it is you're experiencing that maybe you want to resist or you're not comfortable with, instead of building up this sort of defensive feeling, why not just try practicing some breathing with silence and letting it dissolve inside? When it dissolves inside, the outer then will reflect the inner.
I love that. I love that. Let's talk some more about how we hold space and hold love in silence. The little ornery voice say, but I need to speak my truth or fight back, or I'm resisting this. It was really argumentative about, I don't want to just sit here in silence. So let's talk about what the power of silence really is. It's not about silencing our voice or silencing our feelings. It's about creating an energy. So let's talk about how the power of silence can be really transformative.
Yes, I would say all these teachings will point to that silence that is really the true healing power. We have a resistance. When the word silence comes up, we also resist that because our busy mind and doing mind and identification with ourselves says, oh no, I'm not going to go there. Silence or stillness, whatever words you use, peace, that's an energy that has the greatest amount of intelligence to you. So intelligence is actually underneath silence. It's a wellspring of our being, and it can be accessed if we can just simply tune in, and they could even call it a file. We all work in computers. Let's go to the file of silence and do a reboot and see what we can do to release whatever it is we're going through. Often, if we're going through something in the outer world, we can almost see that when we try to fix it, often it just gets either worse or more chaotic. But when we sit with it, watch it dissolve, watch it change by itself, because we have the power. So we're doing it on a different level. We're actually dissolving the core issue of whatever it is that's going on. We're sitting with it and allowing that inner power to affect whatever it is we need to affect, including relationships.
What I'm feeling here, my friend, do you have maybe a couple of minutes of meditation you could walk us through that we could experience?
Yes. And one of my new things I'm offering, which it seems to be happening natural, it's called core light alignment. We have all these multidimensional energy bodies. We identify with our first three, our physical and our emotional, our mental. So we really think that's who we are. But as we expand outward, we find that we're much more than our simple or our immediate identifications. We expand our consciousness into the intuitive levels of really where we can access our inner, our voyage and navigate and get clarity about how, what way we're moving. But the way to do that is to move past the boundaries of our first three energy fields and move into this. It is called the celestial field, where the silence exists, where all the answers appear. Now, that's actually places in the body. That's why I call it core light alignment. So just take a couple deep breaths, or anybody who's watching, and we're going to do a core light alignment, which will take you into that silence of who you are.
Should I give a little warning here that maybe if you're driving or something like that, pay attention to your driving. Other than that, let's focus in on this journey Jaya is going to take us on.
Yes. So take some deep breaths. And the breath is probably your most important tool for all levels of healing and awakening. So we want to breathe in, just breathing in through your nose and breathing that energy down. And the reason why I call it core light is we're actually accessing this flow that goes along the spine. It's entered into what they call the crown chakra. It comes down through the head. And now the throat is your bridge between your physical and your spiritual body. So you're going to pay attention. Bring your third eye, drop down below your throat, and keep falling down in a way. Because the first part of this is you're falling down into your absolutely core being. So you breathe that energy down, you're coming down, you go into the heart, take some more deep breaths, and just feel the soothing, calming feeling of entering the heart. And then continue to breathe down, going into the lower portion of the, I would say, of the first dimension, which is your physical, etheric, and emotion. Breathe that energy down and now go into the base. And the base is really your root, is your fundamental source to become grounded in your silence. So this is just beginning now. We'll take a few more minutes and we'll breathe down off the feet as if we're just doing a rinse of ourselves. With our breath, we can actually look at it as a cleansing breath. So breathing down and off the feet. Now we're going to go into the silent wellspring of our energy being. And so we'll bring that energy back up the feet. And what you can do is you can hold any aspects of your physical body. So you can hold your solar plexus wherever it feels tight or where you need support with. You can hold that with your hands for a moment. And the first gateway to going into silence is observing your thoughts. So taking some deep breaths again and realizing that you've got a thought coming through, the normal thought of what can I do? What am I going to do next? What have I done in the past? That thought form that's always trying to pull you out of your inner being, which is basically pure silence. The way we heal that thought form is simply observe it as if it's an inner child. It's wandering out and we just call it back into our core light and say, it's okay. You can rest now. So the silence is the resting place in your being. And if you need to breathe more, you can always call the thoughts back and breathe a little deeper. An affirmation here is, I'm resting. I'm simply resting. Now, in our energy field along the spine is where the core light lives, and it flows freely when we breathe. It flows freely when we're allowing our thought to basically dissolve, even if it's just a few moments a day. Allowing thought to dissolve, allowing the mind to rest in the heart, allowing our emotions just to rest. And from this sprouts, is the word that I'd like to use for now, sprouts your inner being, emerges your inner being. And the inner being is actually the expanded part of you, which is very intuitive and celestial and connected to your source. In that source energy, there is only silence. We want to know that in that source energy, there's complete functioning. So you can take all the levels of the first three energy fields, the physical, emotional, mental, expand it out, and know that the functioning of your life continues on from a different level. It's a level of effortlessness. How would it be to be in effortlessness, even if it's just for a moment or two? So in this practice, it is an invitation for you to open the door to the unknown. And the unknown is rich with guidance and intuition and healing and potential. So we are programmed to be afraid of moving into the unknown, but that's just the human condition. So we have an opportunity now to let those thoughts of fear go. Let the conditioned thoughts of, oh, we always know it to be like this kind of thought, to let that go. Let the experience of the past go. Then you enter the mystery and the potential and the absolute magic and beauty of the unknown. So breathing that energy all the way back up the body, connecting it out up to the crown, and then breathe it back down into presence. And we can do a namaste to each other and to ourselves that we are open to traveling into the new dimension of being, into our true dimension. Thank you for letting me share.
Jael, as always, that was beautiful and lovely. And should have paid more attention to where we were in the timing, because now I am so relaxed. So, I think what we'll do is call a quick commercial break as we all savor those moments. And we'll see you back in about a minute or two.
The Autoimmune Hour will return after these messages from our sponsors. It's great sponsors like these that keep this show coming to you every week. Be sure and stop by understandingautoimmune.com to learn more.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
Hi, it's Olivia Munn with my shelter pets, Frankie and Chance. Say hi, guys. When I adopted them, I discovered that they both have incredible personalities. Chance's sole purpose in life is to love and to be loved. Frankie is a little bit of a scoundrel and always entertaining. They're a little bit of a lot of things, but they're all pure love. Adopt pure love at theshelterpetproject.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the Humane Society of the United States, and Maddie's Fund.
OM Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. OM Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Sharon, and of course you know me from here on the Autoimmune Hour. Maybe you don't know I'm also an author. My latest book is for kids. It's Pinky Chenille and the Rainbow Hunters, a winner of a 5-star reader's favorite review. It's perfect for your early reader and a great bedtime story for your young adventurers. Check it out over at pinkychenille.com. That's PinkyChenille.com. See you there.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Autoimmune Hour. I'm Sharon Saylor from SharonSaylor.com. And as always, you can pop over to UnderstandingAutoimmune.com and find this episode as well as the 400 plus other episodes we have over there, just to expand our mind and our awareness of what is healing, whether we're talking the physical level, the mental level, emotional level, spiritual level, all levels is what we need to thrive. I first started this journey that I was completely focused on physical level, getting my strength back, getting the condition of my skin back, all sorts of things, completely physical. But as I began this journey on the Autoimmune Hour, one of the things that popped up to me constantly was, look at your other level, Sharon. Look at past traumas. How have that affected your life? Look at the traumas in your family lineage. How has that affected the way you respond to life? Look at your emotions and mental and spiritual. And the one thing I have learned is that to really become a true thriver, it's the willingness. And I love that the word resistance came up when Jael opened the book. It's the willingness and the lack of resistance, the non-resistance, to really look at all aspects of your life and be honest with yourself. What's working, what's not working, and move forward from there. So, Jael, open the book for us one more time. Surprise us with something else.
This is probably my favorite passage. So Dr. Keller, being an osteopathic physician, was very interested in natural healing and spent his life working in natural healing and also on a spiritual level. He was a healer. So he wrote about transformation years ago. He wrote, "What is needed for transformation? An inner revolution, a change of consciousness. Transformation is the only solution to the present critical state of the world. Love is the only thing that transforms. There is only one problem. It is a lack of love. This is the most important element that is missing in all of us."
Oh, wow. Oh my gosh, that's really deep and sad.
I think consciousness is changing rapidly. Many people are walking, I would say, towards the light, towards love, through a lot of suffering. We've had this humanity goes through a lot of suffering. So I think that suffering is grist for the mill. It's prompting people to find answers. But transformation is like the step that you take to actually unveil what love really is inside.
Would you define love for me? I know that's a huge question, but I'm just curious, what's the first thought that pops into your lovely mind?
Love is grace, and it is a place in our being where instead of holding on to the pain and the sorrows we have, we look at everything as a lesson of awakening, joy of moving towards our source. Love is forgiveness. It is actually allowing the authentic, the true nature of your being to show up for your life and show up for others. So many of us walk into rooms or have relationships and we're veiled. We don't want to show that part of ourself. And so love is to live in vulnerability without feeling like you're going to get hurt, because actually nothing can hurt love.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much. Wow.
Yeah.
I get mesmerized when Jaya talks. I love listening to her insights and I'll say her downloads if I can.
Thank you.
I've just been mesmerized, Jaya, about these teachings that you've been reading from your stepfather's book and the words resistance and love. And then some part of that love was grace. The three words I wrote down that were the kind of thing where the signs were like, I needed to hear those words right now. You have a favorite one. Can you share that with us too?
Sure. Okay. So this is called Listening Anew, the first chapter. And this is a paragraph from the first chapter. So to listen differently, a new form of consciousness, a deeper innate consciousness must be present. In rare moments, through actual experiences, man has experienced this deep and innate consciousness. And these are the times the real consciousness spontaneously fills the need. These are the conscious moments of resurrection, moments of rebirth. The real consciousness of another dimension. It is beyond fear, devoid of reaction. It is directness, action, and the real.
Wow. I just love how sometimes in your world, the message appears when you're ready to hear it. Love that one too. Thank you for sharing that.
And I'd like to share just a little bit about that particular one, because this was a family endeavor work. My sister, who had been in India most of her life, she experienced this spontaneous consciousness a lot because of the way she was living. The spontaneous, serendipitous, whatever words you want to use, is available to all of us. You might see this in your daily life, someone showing up, someone calling, someone coming in and intervening in your life when you need it most. I call it the miracle zone. And that's what he's speaking about. It's a zone that life happens of itself in the place where we're silently listening, and then manifestation happens. It's the key to manifestation.
Wow. The miracle zone. I love the sound of that too.
Yes.
So now I'm intrigued by the miracle zone. I'm going to put my other question, just bookmark it for a moment here. As we begin to explore the idea of the miracle zone, what would you tell a beginner? Okay, this is the idea of the miracle zone, or here are some ways to begin to manifest the miracle zone in your own life.
I would say very much to look at how thought has captured from the mind, but the mind, when empty, is a pure vehicle of intelligence. But the mind filled with thought blocks your ability to experience your intuition and what I call the miracle zone. So when you practice no thought, practice emptying. I love the feeling of being a chalice for life. The chalice of your being, which is the empty essence of who you are, which is your true essence, is open then for the miracle to appear in your life. So it's more that you would practice breathing deeply, taking time in nature, releasing built up thought, and just saying, give it a break, because we all do it. We all have this like ongoing chatterbox. In a healing session, I work with a core light breath. So then I'm helping people stretch their, I would say, their core light, which is this big vertical pillar to their source. It's actually really a direct pillar to your higher consciousness. So you stretch it, open it, release what's blocking there, and experience this miracle energy, which then creates a healing for you on almost any level. I've had people come in to see me and really walk out completely cleared. I'm not professing medical treatments here. I'm just saying that your own clear light is your healer. It is the miracle zone.
That's amazing to me. I'm fascinated by all of it, because it's part of it is almost a foreign language to me, and understanding at the deep level that you understand it. And I noticed as you were talking about some of that, the chatter mind was resisting a little bit of it. That it was fascinating how all these words have played together as we're unwinding today. It's a fascinating topic for me, and that's the understanding of looking at ourselves holistically instead of the different parts.
Yes, and yes, because we are whole. Basically, our blueprint is we're a whole being, perfected being. We just have layered it up a bit with unneeded stuff.
I do have a question, though. One thought that came to me as we were talking about this and some of the things you've been sharing. I know your sessions, I've been through your sessions and they're lovely, but are there things that we can do ourselves to begin the process of clearing and holding the chatter mind at bay?
The observer consciousness that you are. So many people don't even realize that you could not almost never argue with the fact that you've observed everything in your life. So I always look at that with people. I think, when have you not observed? So the observer, the witness, is your true essence. It's the most intelligent aspect of your being you could ever, I would say, invite to be fully aware, to be fully activated. So to do it, be in your own home life and work, would be to be an observer of your life and to know that you are the commander of your ship. You could go ahead and say, I'm not only the commander, but I have the tools to scan my energy, to look up and down and back and see where I've accumulated energy that may not be for my highest good, may not be helping me. And many of us don't know how to do that because we actually live in victim consciousness. So we feel like that stuff that we've held on to, we're either identified because it happened to us, or we're thinking that we can't let it go because we might have to let go that relationship that, how it came about. So really, if in the end, we're nothing's lost. The path of letting go is a simple path of loving yourself. Really, this is all about the highest self-love you can offer yourself. So how would it be for you if you just let go of things that were not working for you inwardly? And then you let the outer unfold. How would you feel about yourself? Would you feel a greater sense of love for yourself through letting go and seeing what's no longer serving you?
Oh, I love that. I love that. Because one of the things that I've noticed on my healing journey here is that greater focus on, put in air quotes, protecting my peace. P-E-A-C-E, guys, not P-I-E-C-E, P-E-A-C-E, protecting my peace is really important to me. And the stronger I get, the more I realize that perhaps I wasn't that good at protecting my own inner peace and keeping drama at bay at the beginning of all of my healing journey here. And to me, that space of holding myself in the highest regard, as well as I was holding other people, I found in my healing journey here, one of the things was I wasn't holding myself in the same place I held other people. And that, in reflection, in hindsight, was so unfair to myself.
I think if anything, someone should write a manual for self-love and help people realize that self-love isn't always up to others or loving others. It's really important to love yourself and to transcend the ego limitations of what that love can do and mean sometimes, where self-love sometimes means let's fulfill all my desires and get everything I want. Self-love is really the spirit of self-love, loving yourself as a spirit and of a child of the divine. You are just simply a child of the divine. And how do you love yourself from that place?
And talking to a prolific author, everyone, I might challenge Jay to write that book for us. We're down to just the last 10 minutes, my dear. Time flies when I'm with you. I know you have another recent book out. Share with us the title of that one and what prompted you for that one.
It's actually still in the works. It's called The Grace of Awakening. And it's a book of about my life, but I'm not talking the stories. It's more passages of understanding. My particular situation was pretty hardcore. And instead of going through life and ending up this sort of wounded lump on a lump, I've decided to transcend all the wounds that I've had and turn them into grace. Turn them into a gift that can be utilized in my life, turn it into service. So every possible area of my being that's been wounded, I've switched it around, and it now is a offering back to, I like to use the word divine, to help others in any type of pain they've had. So it's called Grace of Awakening.
Well, I'm so excited for that. And I'm thinking back over all of the 400 plus interviews I've done. And when the subject comes up, it's interesting to me that when we talk about their diagnosis or something like that, the far majority of drivers I've interviewed have all come to this place of the gifts that changed their life. Like that moment of diagnosis was a dramatic change, a shocking or traumatic change. And then most of the time when I ask them, like, would you want your old life back? And the majority of them say, you know what? I wouldn't have had these gifts. And they lean forward with just an amazing array of types of gifts they've learned based on their diagnosis. I think that's one of the most healing things is when we can, for me, it's been over time through hindsight. I think I didn't get the gift in the moment. Okay, guys. For the most part, it wasn't like, oh, ouch, ooh, gift. It didn't work that way.
Yeah, me either. So yeah, it's a long process.
It really is a long process. But as it begins to unfold, it's almost that theory of seeing red cars where later in your life, like today, Jay and I just got on the call just to chat and said, let's interview. So because I'm missing her, and up came the words resistance and love and grace. And interestingly enough, in other areas of my life right now, I was needing to hear those words. And that's what I
Beautiful,
find
thank
so
you.
fascinating. As you work with people, and do you have any tips on helping them be able to see the gifts? Because maybe speed that process up. Because sometimes
yeah.
it's a long time before you can look back and say, oh, that's the reason.
Yes, I would say my serious study for the last 30 years has been the chakras, because the chakras are files in the energy system. And I've just learned that they're so right on and truthful. So let's say that you've spent a lot of time in fear in your life, and that's life is sometimes can be very scary, or fear was instilled through your experiences or your family has fear. A lot of fear. You can also look at your family lineage and your ancestral, I would say, discordant energy. And you can transcend the fear, which then actually on an energetic level, it goes out and helps correct all the fear of your family members. It's pretty profound. So you transcend the fear to love. You go, how can I use this fear that I have? It's like switching a coin and change it to love. So I can use love instead of fear in my life to heal whatever it was that caused the fear. So basically, it's like little files in the system. I would say study the shock would be number one. Number two, scan your energy in your body and really be honest as to what you're holding. So if you're holding grief or shame, those are all, they're all in your organs as well. So this is where we connect with the immune. You heal the organs by looking at where you're holding, let's say, resentment or anger for the liver, resentment for the gallbladder, fear for the kidneys. It's a fascinating journey of energetic understanding.
Wow. I wish we had time to go into that. We only have about 5 minutes left, Jaya. I want you to share with the audience, I know I've just scratched the surface of your wisdom. What would you like to share with the audience that I haven't thought the question to ask?
Yes, anybody that's coming to the coast, we have a beautiful center here. It's called Luminous Soul Center. And we have yoga, we have a little store and an energy healing, lots of sound healing. We do sound healing events. Big, longer ones every month, and on almost every Sunday, we have a sound healing circle of light gathering. And we also have a new little bed and breakfast. So those of you that might want to come from a distance, we offer places to stay, a place or two. And just to give you a tiny bit of background, my daughter, Ariel, and myself have been involved in the healing arts together since she was like 18. She first went to India and became a teacher of yoga through the Shivananda yoga training. And then she since then has had many other trainings, and she's a dance major at Cornish. She's got her degree in dance and choreography and yoga. And then I do the energy work. So between the two of us, I would say we're pretty powerhouse beings that offer you lots of services at Luminous Soul Center. We both work together and we share in that this vision of that together.
I need to mention that it's the Oregon coast, Oregon in the
yes.
United States, guys. What's your website, Jaya?
LuminousSoulCenter.com.
We'll have that up at understandingautoimmune.com as well for all of you who, if you wanted to get the spelling, we'll have a clickable link there over at understandingautoimmune.com for Jaya's luminoussoulcenter.com. And
thank you.
So any final thoughts? We just have about 2 minutes left. Any final thoughts, or could you share with us a little meditation to take us out?
Sure, let's do that. So let's go back and take a couple deep breaths. And close your eyes if you want to. So I'd like you to visualize yourself as you can think of it as a chalice. Look at your energy field and open it up as if you're just this open cup. I like the word chalice because it really indicates that you are a holder of higher frequency. You're a receiver of divine light. And so as you expand your awareness from thought, emotions, and the mind into this expansive understanding that really as you empty out, you receive. And so breathing in, we're going to call forth that sort of, I would call it source energy, breathing that down into your body. And then maybe just saying, in a way you're just saying, I'm so glad. This is my home frequency. This is my home base to feel this electrified, illuminating, radiant, beautiful light that truly is my home base and my birthright as a star being of the light. This is who I am. I welcome you to come visit Soul Center, and thank you very much.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Jaya. That was Jaya Sarada, and she's the author of multiple books, as well as a practitioner of sacred energy healing and a student of Pathways of Light. And she's just an authentic healer that has worked for many years to help us get to a place of calm and collectedness and place of grace. So thank you so much, my friend Jay. I will make it down there soon. Everyone, as I said, this is Jaya Sarada, and
thank you.
LuminousSoulCenter.com, and we'll have that up at UnderstandingAutoimmune.com. Everyone, have a great day, whatever your
thank
adventures.
You.
Join me next week for another brand new episode. Enjoy.
The information provided on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, including the websites UnderstandingAutoimmune.com and LifeInterruptedRadio.com, plus social media, is for educational purposes only. What you read, hear, and see on the Autoimmune Hour, Understanding Autoimmune, and Life Interrupted Radio, and its websites, and other media outlets, is based on experience only. The information should never be used for any legal, diagnostic, or treatment purposes.
For the next few minutes, we'll be providing a guided meditation. Meditation is a positive way to help reset your day and does require specific, targeted attention and focus. Please do not drive or operate machinery during this time. As we say here, drive when you drive and meditate when you meditate.
In the next few moments, take a nice, deep breath. And let it out with a sigh. Shake out your fingers, and your arms, and your shoulders. And keep breathing, enjoying that breath as you kind of shake it all out. Let it go. Just look around a little bit right now, wherever you are. Notice what you're grateful for. Could be anything. Could even be the color of the sky today, the sweet smell of the flowers, the breeze on your face, the people you're with, the place you're at. Could be anything and everything. Take stock of all that you're grateful for that you see. Wow. Take stock of a few things maybe that you don't see right now but you're grateful for. Maybe it's somebody in your life that isn't here with you now. Some place. Whatever it is, take stock of that and add that to that grateful list that's growing. That's right. Shake everything out and just take stock of that gratitude list that we're building. That's right. Just shake it out. Shake everything out. And continue to add to that gratitude list that you're building. That's right. Wow. Quite a list. That's right. What are you grateful for about yourself? Add that to this growing gratitude list. Don't be shy. Don't be humble. Come on. Take a moment right now, starting at the top of that list. Remember, those were the things that you saw right there near you. and count them down, anchoring each one with a beautiful breath. Number one. Number two. Continue on down your list of the things that are right there with you. Anchoring each one with a breath and let it out with a sigh. Allowing enough time to get through the whole list right now. Now start with the list for yourself. Begin to list those things you're grateful for about yourself and anchor each one with a nice deep breath. Just right. That's right. Even being grateful for this moment right here. Right now, feeling every bit of you alive and well. Feeling healing and soothing and calming energy just tingle throughout you. Getting stronger with each breath as your gratitude begins to grow. What a list. What a lucky person. Oh, that's right. Wow. Taking the last few minutes of our time together here right now, just to enjoy this growing gratitude list that grows with each moment. Each minute, each hour, each day, it continues to grow. It's not just for today. Add to it tomorrow and the next day. That's right. And anchor each one with a nice deep breath. And coming right back now, alive, full of energy, happy to be here, in joy, that's right, and feeling grateful for every moment that you have right now. Oh, wow, welcome back. Go in gratitude and enjoy your day.
Research shows we apologize up to 10 times a day, and most of the time, we say sorry as a response to someone else's mistake. What if we thanked people instead of all that unnecessary apologizing? So instead of saying, sorry, I'm rambling, you say, thank you for listening. Join us at ProjectForgive.com, a free, non-religious resource on global forgiveness.
Do you want to be a better leader, have better relationships, become more self-aware, be a better communicator? Hi, I'm Sharon Saylor, best-selling author, professional speaker, and executive coach, and my life passion is empowering professionals to be the best that they can be. After years of working with professionals, I've discovered the 7 things nobody is telling you that can cost you your clients, sales, and even your career. And I want to give it to you free. You've heard my show, you know my passion, and maybe we'll be working together sooner rather than later. So go grab this ebook now to find out the 7 things that's costing you big time over at SharonSaylor.com/radio gift.
Hey, hon, what you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking it questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo, do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry, I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.